Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we're going to start the penultimate day's morning prayer. So let's first rise and sing hymn 409.
Of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing.
Jesus, I speak. First of all, thank God that we have this opportunity to gather once again to pray, devote ourselves before Him. And as the hymn that we have just sang, "Make Me a Blessing," I think this is, you know, ultimately why we wanted to be here. It's not because simply we want to serve the Lord, but also through our service we bring blessings and goodness to His people. Through the study of the book of Acts by Pastor Liang, we have been looking at, you know, how the gospel was evangelized. And I think the one verse that we should all be aware of is the fact that when the seven were chosen to serve, what did the remaining of the apostles say? Without turning to the scriptures, I hope that you can tell me there are two aspects that the apostles wish to devote themselves in. basically would be to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I've been talking about, you know, teaching, religious education, you know, that can be classified under the ministry of the word. But that work must also be accompanied by prayer. And this is nothing new, because I would like you to turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, we know that Samuel was, you know, a great prophet. He led the Israelites, but unfortunately, the Israelites decided that they also want to be like the other nations around them, and so they demanded a king. Samuel was quite hurt by it, and God comforted him. At the end of the day, yes, they were given a king, but Samuel did not simply give up his ministry. Let's read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12, we shall read verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I read 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. So, you know, Samuel realized that if he stopped doing the two things that he mentioned here, it would be considered a sin against the Lord. These two things, I think, echoed exactly what the book of Acts chapter 6 says. Praying and also teaching. But of course, this morning it's the morning prayer, and we're going to talk more about prayer. And what kind of prayer should we submit to God? You know, when we talk about praying, very often we pray for ourselves. We have a list of requests, particularly for, you know, in terms of just the normal members, ordinary members who come to church and then go home to carry on, you know, with their daily life. It is as if when they come to pray, they say, you know, I'm going to present a shopping list to God. This is what I want, or sometimes even this is what I demand from God. And you present to God, and they would be under the illusion that, you know, I give you the list, and in exchange, God would fulfill at least some of it, if not all of it. So they pray for themselves because they are at the center of their prayer. They want something out of it. But I think if we want to devote ourselves to the ministry of the word, our prayer must complement, you know, our work as a teacher, teaching the word of God. And what kind of prayer should we submit to God? Obviously, we can pray about, you know, asking God to give us strength, give us wisdom, give us the power to do whatever. But more importantly, I think throughout the Old and the New Testament, it is not us who should be the subject of the prayer, but rather it should be, you know, other people. Let's just quote a few examples in terms of the Old and the New Testament. I think in the Old Testament, we're all very familiar with the fact that when God came down, wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham offered a prayer to God and asking God, you know, if there are X number of righteous, you know, people that you can find in there, you know, are you going to destroy the city, Lord? You know, this kind of prayer, I think, became the model of, you know, what we should pray today, mainly. Because, you know, we should pray on behalf of others. First and foremost, because we know that we are living in a sinful world, and the confessional prayer, praying or confessing both first and foremost our sins and, you know, helping others, praying that God would have mercy on them, should be on top of our mind immediately. Because we remember also that when Moses, you know, was in the wilderness and God became angry with the Israelites, God even declared to Moses that, you know, just move aside, you know, because let me destroy the Israelites and I will make you and your family great. Moses' immediate reaction would be, far be it from it, you know, Lord, you know, that should never happen. Please have mercy on, you know, the Israelites. You know, that kind of mindset should always be in, you know, our mind when we pray, because we know that, you know, our charge, whether, you know, one day you might be a church board member, one day you might be a minister working for God, or even if you go to Africa, or, you know, if in a classroom environment you're teaching the children or the youths, we know that very often they would have done something wrong. And it is part of our duty to plead for mercy, to pray to God that God should have compassion on them, to help them, to forgive them, and to bring them back to the straight and narrow. And this is what is expected from us. Because if you read the book of Psalms, let's read Psalms 106. This is a psalm when psalmists talk about how the Israelites sinned against God. Psalms 106. Let's read verse 23. Psalms 106, verse 23. It says, "Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them." In here, the description of Moses, the man of God, the chosen one here, is he stood before God in the breach. The breach is basically a gap. Okay, it is, where destruction would start, because it's very similar to a dam having being split, and the water would start gushing out. If we do not do anything about it, then eventually the whole thing would be destroyed and disaster would come upon the people. And Moses stood before him in the breach. Moses was standing in the gap trying to stop what was going on. And it became also, I think, our duty today in our prayers as well. Think of the people whom we care. Think of the people whom we love. When we go about talking or, sharing the word of God with our fellow brothers and sisters, shouldn't we also pray for them? Shouldn't we care about them in a prayer? It's not just go around, using the word of God, instructing them, teaching them as if, we are just slightly better, we know slightly more. But, in our prayers, do we share in our prayer the fact that, we need to pray for them or ask them to pray together so that, we will seek the mercy of God? So in the Old Testament, this is very prevalent. In Nehemiah chapter 1, in Daniel chapter 9, these great men, they prayed and they always pray on behalf of the nation because they realize that they have done wrong, they have gone astray, and it is so necessary for us to pray on behalf of them, to bring them back, ask God to have mercy. However, it seems very pessimistic. It's always about sin, the mercy of God, bring them back, etc. When we turned to the New Testament, I found something much more uplifting, much more joyful in our prayer. I would just like to share with you a few verses from Paul. And, if you have a concordance, just put pray, or prayer. Just put pray, and restrict your search to the letters by Paul. You'll realize that, Paul devote quite a good chunk of his writing on prayer. Particularly, he prayed for all the recipients of his letters. First of all, let's read the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This is a very typical opening of Paul's prayer, of Paul's letters rather. Paul, Romans chapter 1. Let's read verse 9. Verse 9. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers," verse 10, "making requests if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." So, Paul prays, and here he used the phrase, "I make mention of you always in my prayers." Now, obviously, in this case, in this instance, he prayed that he would be able to go and visit the members in Rome. But the fact that, he kept on, mentioning members in his prayers is a start for us as well. Because in our prayers, do we literally mention, the members whom we love, the members whom we care in our prayers? It's not just what we call a corporate prayer, pray for the church, pray for everybody, etc. Do we mention, do we remember people one by one? Is really the thing that we might want to consider. Now, the things that Paul prayed about concerns the growth of the members, the positive growth of the members. For example, Paul in 2 Corinthians, he prayed that the members will do no evil, and then he goes on to say that they may be made complete. Okay, so we are talking about, you know, helping the believers that they may grow in their spirituality. Very often, at the end of a service, the sermonizer will say, oh, we need to pray for this and that. And the names that are mentioned would probably concerns, you know, so someone is ill, someone is not well. And then, generally speaking, we say, oh, please, we also pray for those who are spiritually weak or those who have gone astray. As if, I'm not saying that that's the case, okay? As if it is just a tag on. We named people who are ill, but we just generally pray for those people who have gone astray or spiritually, you know, a bit down, basically. But do we, can we, should we actually do the same for those who are, you know, spiritually unwell or who have gone astray? Can you actually name them one by one? And can you actually pray for them individually so that they can also grow in their spirituality? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, let's read 16 and 17. In verse 14 onwards, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father. So he starts his prayer. And part of his prayer is that in verse 16, that he would grant you, the Ephesians, okay, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the height, the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is another typical prayer of Paul. As I said, you know, if you go through, you know, the concordance, you pray that, you know, Paul kept on praying for the believers, so that they may be, you know, spiritually well, so that they may spiritually advance. I think this is necessary in our prayer. If we want to talk about the Word of God, share the Word of God with whomever, wherever we go, that is our mission here. Whether we are in our local church, whether we go to Africa, you know, whether we are in a workplace, at school, or whatever. You know, our mission, our job is to make disciples, is to sort of preach, talk about the Word of God. But it's not just talking. Always remember that we have to put in the prayers, because prayer is the most effective weapon that we have in our hands. We can talk and, you know, we can use our eloquence to do whatever is required. But without prayer, God, without the moving, without the work of God behind, then none of the work could be completed. So, in our prayer, in what we're going to do, remember to pray, not just for ourselves, not just for, you know, the church in general, but please, I urge you that, you know, find time to remember them one by one, because every individual have their own specific needs. Every individual, you know, have, you know, their own weaknesses. They are all individual in our eyes and in the eyes of God. Let us start praying for them, so that, you know, their weakness can be strengthened, so that in whatever area that they are lacking, that they can also grow. And we pray that God will help us to become a man of prayer, because we need to devote ourselves in the ministry of the Word, in teaching, in sharing, in exhorting one another. But we also, more importantly, need to pray so that, you know, God would work. We remember them one by one. If they have gone wrong, that they would turn back. If they are not strong, then they will be strengthened. That we will all pray the prayers like Paul, that we always remember them, that we ask them, that ask God that they will all be filled with the grace and knowledge of God, so that we can all grow and all walk successfully along this journey of faith. For the remaining of our time, I think we should devote ourselves in a prayer. Of course, generally, I have to say this, we pray for ourselves, we prayed that God would continue to guide us, but maybe we should find just a little bit more time praying for other people. Think about at least one, two, three person that we care about, that they need a supportive prayer. And if we together all pray likewise, then by the grace of God, the church will prosper, the members will be strengthened, the lordship can be found. So let's devote ourselves in prayer and ask that, you know, God will listen, God will take heed, and he will bestow a blessing of us. Because as the hymn that we have just sung, make us a blessing. And one of the ways is through our prayers. So let's pray.